Welcome to SCI Asia's podcast on environment and policy in Asia. In this podcast series, we invite experts to discuss the many critical and complex environmental challenges in Asia and how to find solutions through policy and partnerships.
Hello, my name is Jenny E. Chen Han. I am a research associate on gender, environment, and development at the Stockholm Environment Institute Asia Center. In this mini-series, we will take a deep dive into multiple aspects of air pollution and its impacts on health and livelihoods. In the first episode, we will focus on the aspect of intersectionality and air pollution. Our guest today is Tan Vu, one of our research partners in the project titled The Impact of Air Pollution on the World of Work for Women and Youth in East and Southeast Asia. Tan is currently working for the Institute of Human Studies based in Hanoi, where she serves as the head of Department of Human Development and Human Resource Studies. Tan, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Jenny. Thank you for inviting me for the podcast.
Thank you so much. Nice to have you today. So let's get started with talking a bit about the existing research on air pollution. What do existing research tell us about the socioeconomic and gendered impacts of air pollution? For example, what are some of the current gaps in this field of research?
Existing studies show the effect of demographic and social factor on a person's exposure to air pollution. And they include education, work history, family needs for work division, and family structure. On factors such as the where people live and work can greatly impact their exposure because air pollution is not equally distributed spatially. Now, I actually study in the world indicate that sex and gender are factor influencing the exposure to air pollution of women and men. And women and men are affected differently by air pollution due to biological and social differences. Gender influences the role of women and men in performing daily activity. It therefore have shaped the way that men and women are exposed to air pollution. And the disparity in income and education between women and men are also the root causes of their exposure to air pollution. So on average, the amount of time that women spend in the kitchen is cheaper than that of men. And women, therefore, are more exposed to the sort of indoor pollution. This makes women and girls more exposed to household air pollution. And regarding Vietnam, air pollution has become serious and it has been paid a lot of attention in recent years. But air pollution issues in study in Vietnam are usually investigated from environmental or health perspective, while there are limited studies examining air pollution from an intersectional lens, especially for social and cultural aspects. So our study on intersectional impact of air pollution on the world of work of informal labor groups in craft village in Hanoi, Vietnam, use gender and intersectional lens to examine interrelationship between air pollution and the working condition of informal worker group in craft village, especially group of women and young people who face disadvantages in work and life due to inequality relating to social norms, social hierarchies, division of labor model, and limited personal resources.
Thank you so much. And now that we have some background information, let's talk more about your research. You already mentioned that your research focuses on the intersectional impacts of air pollution on informal workers in Hanoi's craft villages. Could you please tell us a bit more about your case study?
The craft villages in Vietnam have created employment for many workers in informal economy and make an important contribution to promote economic development in rural areas. However, the informal workers in craft villages face many risks relating to polluted environment, including air pollution. And in many studies in Vietnam have reflected that in craft villages, environmental pollution in general and air pollution in particular affect the lives and health of craft villagers as well as neighboring area. However, there's no study investigating intersectional factors associated with the exposure to air pollution on laborers in craft fields. So our research project aims at unpacking the structural causes of air pollution and main driver of exposure for different labor groups in craft village in Vietnam. And it looked at various effects of air pollution on informal workers. It investigated the gender and youth-related issues associated with air pollution due to working in informal sector in the craft village. It also identifies the measure of various stakeholders to prevent air pollution and minimize its impact on laborers. And in this project, we apply participatory method to explore the perception, understanding, and experience of worker group about the potential danger of air pollution of their working place. In this study, we use qualitative methods such as focus group discussion, in-depth interview, writing working diary, and photo voice. And it reflects the situation of air pollution in craft villages from insider viewpoints, through laborers sharing and story of their experience of air pollution at workplace. And the project also shows the measure to protect workers from air pollution.
It's really great to hear that you use multiple research methods to understand workers' experience of air pollution in their workplace. Can you tell me a bit more about how your findings help address current research gaps?
Well, our study reflects intersectional influence of air pollution on laborers. It shows that the exposure and impact of air pollution on laborers in craft fields are influenced by various factors. The first factor is personal factors such as sex. The study shows that women often do lighter jobs than that of men, but women's jobs require more attention and carefulness and meticulous needs due to their patient. And meanwhile, men with good health often do the jobs that require more physical strength, and in many cases, they participated more in hazardous working states that work in more air polluted environment. And men and women work in the same workshops, and they have to breathe in air polluted air when they work in production facility. However, men tend to spend less time than women at the workshops because men's job provided them with more chance to move to other places in working time. About the youth, they are more likely to undertake more work with direct exposure to pollutants due to their physical advantages. This may in turn make young men poor and impacted by air pollution. And another group is the middle-aged group. Middle-aged workers are more likely to have a pre-existing health condition than their younger and counterparts, making them more vulnerable to the impact of air pollution. And the second factor is the social and cultural. You know, the gender norm affect the choice of employment of workers in craft village. Women are still seen as one responsible for housework, although they know that working in production facility in craft village can affect their health. Many workers still choose this job because they can have more time to take care of family than other jobs, such as working for company in industrial zone. On the other hand, gender norm on men's role, considering men the breadwinner in family, pushes them to try to earn money. Although they are aware that some work in craft village involves hazardous environment, such as spray painting, operating cutting machines, so on and so forth. Some men still do this work, which offer them with high income compared to other work in the craft production facility. The cultural feature of rural villages sometimes become barrier to manage air pollution. The influence of village community relations restrict workers from giving their complaint about air pollution in their workplace to employer and stakeholder. And village culture also sometimes prevent local authority from trying to apply some regulation to production facility who violate environment regulation. Migrant status also affects the workers' exposure to pollution in craft village. You know, migration workers work and live right next to the production facility. Therefore, they might be exposed to a pollutant from production facility, not only during working, but also during rest time. In addition, since the migrant only work in the craft village for a while, they accept to do heavy job with more risk of exposing to hazardous pollutant, but provide them with higher income. Notably, migrant workers are seasonal workers coming from other provinces, so they do not usually join in local organizations. In general, they hardly participate in any organization that is responsible for protecting their interests. The third one is institutional factor. There are formal and informal regulations to manage and reduce air pollution in craft village. However, to be honest, their effect is not high. The craft village have not yet had an assessment of air pollution due to lack of financial, professional, and technical resources. And occupational safety and health at the workplace have not been implemented and monitored well. The village convention contains some regulations relating to environment protection, but there's lack of supervision or lack of resource to ensure that regulations are effectively implemented.
Excellent. It is interesting to know that these three factors influence the posture and impacts of air pollution on workers in craft villages. Can you elaborate a bit more on how you use a gender and intersectional lens to analyze your findings?
Multiple and intersectional characteristics might make some worker group become more vulnerable to air pollution due to restricted resource, opportunity, or power to protect themselves from air pollution and to improve their working environment or livelihood. And our study analyzed how gender and intersectional features associate with the laborers' exposure to air pollution. And in our study, gender, age, and migrant status are cross-cutting issues to examine the impact of air pollution on workers. Specifically, in this study, we look at how gender norm and gender stereotype associate with the pattern of labor division in craft village, and thereby influence the exposure to air pollution of men and women. And those are vulnerable to expose to air pollution and due to their physical health advantages, but the less working experience. Young people undertake heavy work in direct contact with places that emit a lot of pollutants. And migrant status make migrant workers affected by air pollution in craft village. In particular, the living condition of migrant workers in craft village and the pressure of earning money while working temporarily in the craft village make migrant workers at high risk of being exposed to air pollution because they accept doing in very air polluted environment that local people do not want to do. Meanwhile, there's been little protection and support from social organizations given to migrant workers in craft village.
Very interesting. Can you also tell us a little bit more about the ways that workers can be affected by air pollution?
Obviously, air pollution affects workers' health and income. Men are less likely to mention their health problems than women, even though men work are directly exposed to harmful emissions. This can be explained as men's physical condition is better than that of women. And in addition, men pay less attention to their health problem. And similarly, young people have a better health. So even though they do heavy job, they seldom talk about effect of air pollution on their health. So worker in the three craft village work on a day-by-day basis or they are paid by products. Therefore, even if they do not take a break, but they're tired, their productivity will decrease and therefore the income will also lower. It's found that some workers who are usually women have to take time of work on working day when there are activities that the factory they feel that their health can be affected by the pollution in their workplace. And notably, workers are paid based on many factors, including skill, level of difficulty, but also partly based on the exposure to air pollution. And accordingly, people who do jobs that are more directly exposed to air pollutants will receive higher wage than other workers. However, in fact, most workers in production facility of Craft Village work in the same workshop, so both men and women are affected by air pollution directly or indirectly. Although men are directly exposed to emission, the time they are exposed to air pollution in the workplace is less than that of women, because men have more mobility in work than women. Due to being able to drive truck or load items, men also do transporting and delivering goods, which provides them with more opportunity to work outside production facility. As a result, although both men and women work about 8 or 9 hours per day, men spend less time in production facilities than women. Nevertheless, women income is lower than that of men, and they do not have a toxic allowance. This partly reflects income inequality from an air pollution related perspective. And the role of stakeholder and laborers themselves also influence the exposure to air pollution of workers in Craft Village. Well, for the employee, workers have a little opinion with their employer, or with local authority or organization about the situation of air pollution in their workplace and its effect on them. This is due to limited awareness and the influence of community relations in the rural village. Notably, many workers still do not use minimum protective equipment, such as masks, during the production process because they think it's uncomfortable. It's also found that women are more likely to use the measure to protect themselves from air pollution than men. This can be explained by the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, men have less health problems than women, and also because their tolerance to air pollution is stronger than women. And about the local authority, due to the nature of work in Craft Village as informal economic sector, there's no organization in Craft Village to protect the rights of workers. The locality have a few regulations to ensure workers' safety against risk of air pollution at work.
Thank you for the information. And lastly, I would like to ask you about air pollution policies. What are some ways that workers can be impacted by air pollution that existing air pollution policies often overlook?
Well, the policy and regulation from the state, local government, village convention, and state governing community organization influence the management of air pollution and support given to the worker in the Craft Village. And currently, the implementation of policies and law on air pollution in Craft Village has not been fully and effectively implemented. Existing regulations are scattered and not specific, leading to a lack of comprehensive regulation on ensuring safe working conditions for informal workers in the Craft Village. And notably, existing policy do not take into account the vulnerability of informal workers, and in particular migrant workers. Advocacy for informal and migrant workers' rights have been implemented by NGOs such as ILO and trade union organizations such as Vietnam General Confederation of Labor. However, advocacy efforts are also limited. Moreover, policy on environmental protection in Vietnam are largely gender blind and lack the nuance to address gender vulnerability. For example, specific support for women workers in polluted environment.
Okay, great. So thank you again. I think it's really great to hear about your findings and your analysis through an intersectional lens. It allowed us to understand more about how factors such as gender, age, migration status, and cultural norms shape unequal exposures to air pollution. Again, I really appreciate the time that you spent with us today and your willingness to share your knowledge and experience with us. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
It's my pleasure too. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you for listening to SEI Asia's podcast on environment and policy in Asia. For more information on these topics, guests, and our work, please visit our website on www.sei.org.